Jeff McCaffer is the program committee member for EclipseCon 2009's runtime track, and he's going to tell us all the exciting and new things to expect at EclipseCon this year. Tell us about the runtime track, Jeff.
Hey, Wayne, thanks. The runtime track at EclipseCon this year is pretty cool. There were a lot of submissions. Don't remember the numbers, but there were a great number of submissions from all over the runtime community. It turns out there are a lot of things I learned, people doing things with Eclipse in a runtime scenario that I didn't know about. But largely speaking, they fall into a few categories, if you will. The coverage of existing Eclipse projects, things like Simila and Swordfish and ECF and Riena, all those guys. You know, we've got some good representative talks to show people what's going on there, a number of tutorials in those areas as well. And then a number of talks that focus on specific technologies and uses of Eclipse or Equinox in runtime areas, especially on server side. There's a lot of tutorials on, you know, building applications with server side Eclipse. RESTful, the NASA guys have a talk on RESTful web apps using Eclipse-based technology and their restlets. Number of talks on cloud-based computing. So both that covers sort of tooling, as well as, you know, running wrap applications on clouds, that sort of thing. So there's a few talks and I think a tutorial on that. Wrap itself is a big topic. The whole single sourcing notion, this idea that you can write an application and run it as an RCP or run it on a server as a wrap, an AJAX application, with very little, if no, code change, has really sort of taking hold now. The branding and the sort of customization presentations are getting really fairly advanced now with wrap. So you can do some pretty cool things. And I think we'll see a few talks about just how cool it can be in some example applications out there. P2 focuses or features heavily in the program. There are a couple of explicit talks. There's a tutorial on P2, the new provisioning platform, and a sort of an update talk on what's going on, what's new with P2. But more than that, I saw a lot of proposals that talked about P2. You know, we're using P2 for this, P2 for that. Some of those got accepted and some didn't. But so what I expect to see is throughout these talks, there will be P2 is sort of one of those secret saucy pieces, you know, that shows up in various places as a delivering some real value to the scenarios.
So is this an acknowledgement then that the community sees P2 as more than just a way to update your Eclipse? There's other ways that P2 can be used for other forms of provisioning.
Yeah, exactly, and that's pretty gratifying for the P2 team, because really, you know, we started out. Our number one goal for last year was to produce a replacement for Update Manager. This year, you know, we're looking to make that solidify that scenario, but also enable a few other scenarios. And so this interest is very interesting to see the community-driven interest to use P2 in scenarios, some of which we never really thought of, or we thought of but said, you know, like, yeah, in 5 years or something, and now we're seeing them sort of happen today or soon. So that's really kind of cool. There are a few talks on synergies, looking at, so we've got all these silos. We've got the Eclipse Link guys doing the database stuff, and we've got, you know, the wrap guys doing their UI, and then projects that aren't part of the runtime top-level project per se, EMF, BERT, a lot of these other projects that have significant runtime elements to them. We're seeing talks now looking at how do those all combine, you know, mashup, if you want to use a trendy phrase, but how do you all combine those all into a runtime solution? So in particular, the main stage talk is one that I'm giving, but the focus of that talk is really to present this, gather up a bunch of different runtime technologies at Eclipse, and put them all together in one sort of comprehensive end-to-end scenario that's reasonably, it's not just cooked up, it's reasonably real world, and, you know, databases and reporting and wrap and Equinox on the server and ECF to communicate to remote machines, P2 to provision it all, that sort of stuff. And there's a couple of other talks. There's one about cloud computing that talks about that same sort of idea, but running on the cloud. That sort of stuff I've noticed a few talks like that, both in the runtime track, but also in other parts of of the program.
But that's certainly something that's really missing, I think, in general.
Right? Yeah.
How do you string these pieces together?
Yeah.
We've certainly got a lot of great technology, and the people who build their technology are very concerned about getting their word out, but
yeah.
The crossover is difficult. We've got a couple of talks in the technology track about that as well.
Right.
And in fact, that's one of the reasons why the Examples Project exists.
I knew you'd put that plug in there.
But the idea is that's hopefully, like, maybe your examples could find a home in the Examples Project or something, just as a handy place for people to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a thought.
Well, what we're doing for that in particular, since you're plugging, I'll plug one of my things, we're taking the Toast example, which is the application we develop in the Equinox book. So there's a book we're putting together now. It should be out in the summer, but all through there we develop this application called Toast. And so what we're looking to do for this talk is sort of essentially take that application and build it out with, okay, yeah, right now we've got a little list of vehicles. Well, let's put a database under that and have 10,000 vehicles, right? And, oh, yeah, we've got a hack together web UI for the portal. Well, let's make that wrap. And, just putting these technologies in there, they're all situated within this sort of base application. So we can talk offline about a new home for that.
What does Toast stand for?
Theoretically, Toast stands for telematics on a stick, but that's just kind of a goofy name.
Sure.
Historical, but it's basically a vehicle software management system. Mm-hmm. So you've got a software running in a head unit on a car, and then some server that can manage vehicles, update them, install new stuff, and query them and communicate with them in various ways.
Very sci-fi.
Very sci-fi, yeah, that's right. Well, it's
sci-fi today.
It's OnStar, right?
Yeah.
OnStar open source or something.
Sure.
But in any event, that's the context for in which we're going to try to show all of these different runtime technologies. And, we haven't really started putting that demo together yet, but we've got 2 months.
And when's the book due?
Well, the book is due out concurrent with Galileo.
Okay.
So pragmatically July should be in the bookstores.
And what's the title?
Right now, the title is Equinox and OSGI, The Power Behind Eclipse, or something like that. But
okay.
I think we're still working on...
So it's a modest title.
We're still working on... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're still working on that title. But
cool. So Galileo would be end of June.
Yep, Galileo's end of June.
Just so the listeners know when to go to Amazon.
Right. Well, they can go there now, actually. There's Rough Cuts. We have some initial 6 or 8 chapters of the book are up on Rough Cuts now. So you can go in and... get that content and give us feedback and tell us it sucks or tell us it's great.
Yeah, I know us includes Chris and Eatsick.
No, that's the RCP book.
My mistake.
Not to confuse people.
That's the next generation of the RCP, what's become known as the RCP Bible.
The RCP Bible.
So this is the
Equinox. The Equinox Bible to be is me, Paul Vanderlei, and Simon Archer.
Okay.
So long-time OSGI guys they were instrumental, actually, in helping us structure the RCP book way back when, and now we've sort of joined forces to do the Equinox book. The RCP book is the second edition. So me and Jean-Michel and Chris Anzek.
Okay.
And that should be out at the same time.
Okay.
If we get our act together.
Cool. So back to EclipseCon.
Yeah. Indeed.
We can buy advanced copies of these books at EclipseCon.
Probably can, actually. I don't know. Back to EclipseCon. Yeah, so the conference as a whole, I think, because you mix, EclipseCon also has OSGI DevCon. And so there's a lot of talks, actually, that are very relevant to people using Eclipse runtime technology, but they show up, technically speaking, under the OSGI DevCon banner. And so all total, I think, something like 35% of the talks at Eclipse, the talk hours at EclipseCon, fall under one of these two banners. It's a very big runtime presence now in the Eclipse community. I just can't say enough about how many really cool and interesting topics are there. Everything from programming models, how do I use declarative services or something to glue together my application, to full-on functioning systems and infrastructure like the SOA stuff and Simila and Rihanna, those things.
Is declarative services something we're going to be seeing the implementation of in 3.5? Is that going to be included as part of 3.5?
The DS implementation has been around for a while.
And I know it's been around. It's been available under the bundles component.
Yeah, so it was not part... So it was part officially of the Ganymede release, but not part of the Eclipse SDK. So in fact, the Equinox project, which is now part of the runtime top-level project, not the Eclipse platform project anymore. Equinox ships a whole bunch of bundles that are not part of the SDK, the Eclipse SDK that gets shipped. And one of those has been declared as services. So right now we're in the midst of deciding, effectively, you know, to put DS into the SDK. So declarative services has tooling in the SDK. So PDE guys added a bunch of declarative services tooling, which is really cool. That was a good community effort as well. Guys from the community showed up, and the PDE team coordinated with them to get that in. That was a very, very good example of community involvement. And now that we have tooling, people are saying, oh, well, actually, there's no barrier left to me using declarative services except for it's a little harder to get,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
And we would actually like to use it in a couple of places in the SDK. And so that's currently the process we're going through. My belief is we will have declarative services in the SDK in 3.5 for Galileo, which is a great advance and very cool. Anybody who's doing OSGI services would be well served to take a look at DS and use it instead of service trackers and
sure.
rolling your own. Right?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
So much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Back to EclipseCon. I'm easily distracted.
So where were we? Oh yeah, lots of really cool topics all over the place. Even in the RCP and even in other tracks around reporting and stuff like mm-hmm. that. If you go and you look at those talks, you'll say, well, actually, that comes down to being a runtime technology talk, or a technology that can be used in runtime mm-hmm. scenarios. So obviously, I'm very pumped about all of this. It's
sure.
going to be really exciting, and I'm not going to be able to go to even a small fraction of the talks that.
I remember last year with the OSGI conference
yeah.
worked in, right? There was a lot of stuff I didn't expect, right?
Yeah.
Seeing alternative OSGI implementations
yeah.
As the focus of talks, using Eclipse as the development environment for
yeah.
Felix, for example,
was
a security talk I
mm-hmm.
attended last year. Definitely interesting, mm-hmm. was an interesting twist on the whole conference, and kind of, I guess allows us to think of the a broader community, bigger
yeah.
world.
Well, fundamentally, Eclipse is OSGI based. Equinox is just another implementation of. I like it, but it pragmatically, there's a whole other community out there, a whole additional part of the world that's developing things for OSGI, and those things are eminently usable in Eclipse. There's no reason why you can't go and get something from Apache Felix, or Knopflerfish, or any of the other open source OSGI environments, and use them directly in Eclipse. Frankly, our console is somewhat lacking. So go and get the Knopflerfish or the Felix console and use it. That's the great thing about. That's one of the reasons why 5 years ago we wanted to adopt OSGI, because it was the standard, because other people have implementations, tooling, and infrastructure around it. Just get it, use it, plug it in, and enhance your overall Eclipse experience.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that's very cool. I'm really glad that we have the DevCon, OSGI DevCon, at the same time as EclipseCon. It's a good synergy.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the tutorials?
Sure. There's actually a lot of tutorials, and unfortunately, I think this track was oversubscribed by like 200% or something for tutorial suggestions. I think I mentioned already that there's a P2 tutorial, there's a server-side tutorial, there's a tutorial on RAP, on doing single sourcing with RAP. There's a tutorial on RESTful web applications from the NASA guys. There is another tutorial on... I'm losing it now.
Well, we can go find the... The program is online, so...
This is a skill testing question.
Well, it was, yes, exactly. And you've passed mostly. No, the idea was, just to get people interested so they know what's, that there's some good stuff out there, but there's certainly
there's a lot
more than any of us can remember.
There's a lot of OSGI tutorials as well, basic principles of doing declarative services and services in general in
OSGI.
So
somebody who's new to OSGI, though, are they going to find what they need there as well?
I think so, yeah.
I'm just trying to get their feet wet and understand what the world's like
yeah.
and how they're supposed to act in it.
The tutorials are ranked by difficulty, but there's a good smattering there, and even the ones that are a little more advanced, maybe, they will contain enough information. If you know Java and a little bit of sort of how stuff fits together, it's eminent. OSGI, realistically, isn't that hard. and it's actually meant to take a lot of the difficulty of class path management mm-hmm. out of your hands, so sure. you don't have to worry about that. It happens that there's some specific markup or some specific style that you should use to make that happen, but that's a small price to pay for the freedom of class path, the freedom from class path hell.
Sure.
When you get into services, then that things like declarative services and IPOJO and these other things are covered by some of the tutorials. Mm-hmm. The P2 tutorial will get you right into provisioning and that sort of thing, and the server side tutorial will help you get OSGI running on your server with plugging in servlets and all this other stuff mm-hmm. With great abandon, right?
Awesome. So is there anything else that we need to know? We're actually running a little short of time now. But
I think that pretty much covers the EclipseCon. I could go on forever about runtime stuff and that sort of thing. But
So what is what's new and exciting in the runtime project?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got a few things. Of course, a bunch of stuff in provisioning continues to happen. We're seeing more and more projects show up at the runtime project. Things like, ERCP moved over to runtime recently, which was really great fun. So now we have embedded RCP as part of the runtime family. But I also want to emphasize that it's not so much things showing up on the runtime project per se. They're showing up at Eclipse, and they are runtime technologies. We don't really seek to put every runtime technology piece underneath the runtime project. That's not mm-hmm. what we're about. We're more about fostering that community. And, frankly, I'd be more than happy to see these grow up and graduate to their own top-level project mm-hmm. and see the runtime project kind of, go away or something, mm-hmm. In the long term, right? But it's probably not going to happen because there's always evolutions.
Sure.
But there's just a lot of... When you start looking, you see a lot of runtime technology around Eclipse these days.
So there seems to be a piece of runtime in just about everything. I know one of the things that I'm required to do every month is make a list of all the projects doing runtimes at Eclipse.
Okay.
And it's really hard.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to, is Nebula Equinox-based runtime? Well, probably not, but
yeah.
Could be.
We'll have a discussion later about how to draw that line.
Right, but strictly speaking, yep. It doesn't really need it. Anyway, whatever. My challenge, not yours. So there's certainly a lot of stuff going on in the runtimes at Eclipse. I know that we've been having some trouble over years trying to get people to understand that Eclipse is... It's a good problem to have because everybody knows about Eclipse, and everybody... I talk to students, and they say it's a Java development environment, yep. right? And that's how they know it. And then when you get to talk to people, you can expand their horizons. You can make them understand yep. it. But most people, their first experience with Eclipse is it's an IDE, and that really sticks.
Yeah. Well, I think 4 years down the road now, we're just breaking the ice with RCP. Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of people know about it and are using Eclipse as a rich client platform to build their arbitrary applications. But getting in a generic runtime scenario, on servers and stuff like that, that's still very avant-garde, and
sure.
and people kind of look at you strange, right, when you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm used to that anyway, so...
Yeah, we get that for other reasons.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's been very informative. I'm looking forward to EclipseCon, as obviously you are as well.
Yep.
March 23rd to 26th, it's in Santa Clara, California. For more information, www.eclipsecon.org. The schedule is up.
Yeah.
Program is up, so have a look.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
See you there.